EZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston in Congress.
The House will be in order.
The House gaveled into session this morning. Speaker Mike Johnson looking to pass a spending bill before a midnight government shutdown. Members of the Teamsters walking the picket line at Amazon in several locations. ABC's Trevor Ault says they're looking for better pay and health insurance benefits for drivers.
Amazon doesn't recognize the Teamsters as a union representing their employees and says it won't negotiate with them. In a statement, what you see here are almost entirely outsiders, not Amazon employees or partners, and the suggestion otherwise is just another lie from the Teamsters. Amazon also saying
Christmas is on track and we fully expect to be able to fulfill our delivery promises for our customers.
Unionized Starbucks workers in three cities are also on strike. Wintry weather and bitter cold this week into next. No storm in the upper Midwest in the forecast. Busiest roads around L.A., Washington, D.C. and Orlando. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Workforce Development have announced a seventh consecutive month of record-high employment. According to a press release, Wisconsin's labor force grew by about 7,200 over the month of November to surpass the previous record high set in October. Workforce officials say the state's unemployment rate has remained steady at just under 3%, staying below the national unemployment rate of 4.2%. The unemployment data is tracked by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reporting a growing positivity rate for norovirus cases. According to health officials, the highly contagious virus had a positive test rate of about 19% through the last week of November. That total was nearly 10% higher than the positive rate at the beginning of November. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus had also reported an outbreak of the virus during that time frame. The virus is commonly referred to as the stomach flu, and symptoms could include vomiting and diarrhea. The Duluth Police Department is investigating after two people were found dead in a vehicle in the airport parking ramp. According to law enforcement authorities, officers were attempting to find a man who had expressed suicidal ideations and found him and a woman dead inside the vehicle on the top floor of the Duluth International Airport parking ramp. Police say the two people knew each other and there is no threat to the general public. Duluth International Airport officials say the investigation will not impact their normal operations. A number of Superior residents have seen a drastic increase in their property taxes following a citywide assessment of property values. According to Mayor Jim Payne, the assessments and additional local funding for schools are the driving factors behind the increase. In total, Superior residents are facing an over $3.5 million increase in their property tax burden. Mayor Payne also assured residents that this property tax increase is a one-time thing under inconvenient circumstances, and he does not expect another big hike in the near future. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the road tonight against the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks are 14-11 after the break. The Cavaliers in first place at 23-4. Three former Bucks players named nominees to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Marcus Johnson, Terry Cummings, and John McLaughlin, and Coach Doc Rivers, also named a nominee. College basketball, the Badgers go back to work this weekend at the Kohl Center. They will host a Horizon League team, the Detroit Mercy Titans, at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. NFL, Packers practicing in the snow. There's a chance for some flurries Monday night when they host the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs says he likes games in the snow.
I like the game just because, you know, cold games, snow games, because defenders don't really want to hit. It kind of make them make decisions. You got to kind of make a business decision at times, and it's easier for me because I'm going to make you have to make that decision.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be chilly today, but it's not going to be as windy. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper teens this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, down into the lower single digits. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 19. We're back in the mid to upper 20s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, will the Musk-Trump GOP get to a Plan C to fund the government before midnight Friday? Also, what impact does the ABC-Disney settlement have on journalism? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Can you sense it far away? Is it old Rudolph the reindeer? Is it Santa on his sleigh? It's heading up to Easington. It's coming down the Tyne. Oh, it's bloody Maggie Thatcher, Michael Heseltine. So
Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher. May God's love be with you. We all sing.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And we've been having a robust discussion, you know, about what's in store. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
I don't disagree with you at all. Earl, I think that you're right. People are looking to the government to do something, but let's face it. The American people has become the dog who rolled over on its back waiting for the owner to give it 2 seconds of attention. And once we get that 2 seconds of attention, not only that, but over a long period of time, a couple hundred years, maybe 100 years, maybe the last 60 years, the right side has been drawing the map that has got us to this point. You know, you look at the blue states that generate revenue. You look at the red states that come to the federal trough every year, grabbing more revenue. Moscow Mitch's state of Kentucky gets poorer and poorer every year. He's been in control of the Senate for years, hasn't done a thing. Marjorie Taylor Greene, most of the children in her district live under the poverty level, but she makes more noise on Capitol Hill than a clanging bell. Okay, so we have allowed, we the people have allowed the government to take over. Why aren't these senators and these Congress people more worried about us saying we're going to vote you out?
I agree.
Elon Musk threatening that they'll be primaried. This is something everybody needs to wake up and see that we don't have this game anymore. We just sit there waiting for them to scratch our bellies and throw, like Sandy said, give us some little pittance, let us eat cake for a little while, and then we'll run around yelling how we had money in our pockets while Trump was in office. If people don't wake up, the dog needs to roll back over, start barking, and threaten to bite. That would be my point.
Well, you know, it's all well said, Brendan, because I do know, and over the last 30 years, that I've seen many of our fellow countrymen not be as concerned about, well, you know, things had been going good in our own lives, and we didn't see government as something that was needed by any of us. That was for people who struggled. And since we were doing so well, we didn't have time to even be concerned about government. Government was just something that was there to protect our nation. And now people wake up and they see, because things aren't going as good as they have been. That didn't just start, Sandy, 4 years ago. The middle class and their struggles, it's been, you know, 30 years that this started happening.
It's been decades in the making. It's been the shift of defined benefit pension plans as a common benefit to workers to 401ks that are self-funded. It's been a shift from health insurance that was Blue Cross Blue Shield without much of a deductible at all.
Right.
It was provided in the second week of employment to almost every employee in the country.
You're talking about my life, Sandy. That's what happened with me.
Yeah, to a situation in a system now where most corporations only pay for part of health benefits if you get it at all. It's a shift towards many more minimum wage workers or people who are hourly workers who are earning a wage which is maybe a multiple of minimum wage but not enough to make it. It's been a shift from one breadwinner getting a family into the middle class into a situation where it takes two breadwinners to achieve median income in this country on average. So, you know, we've had a social shift and the government has ignored it, or the government has even caused it.
Yes.
Has caused, you know, so 401ks were something that were facilitated by the tax code. The whole health care system has been broken for a long time because we allowed it after World War II to be dependent on employers and employment to be the basis for health care, where no other civilized country in the world that's advanced at all economically has set up that kind of a system. So, you know, this is something we've done to ourselves, and it's something that has been done to us within our political system. And for some reason, we're satisfied with it. Is it because we buy into this individualism stuff that is supposedly differentiates America? I think it is.
Yes. So, Sandy, let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Good morning. Interesting discussion. I really enjoyed hearing Sandy's last piece about how general citizens have been screwed by different systems and the way things have happened. But, you know, we talk about the rich, rich, poor, poor, but there's one time when that wasn't happening, and that's about between World War II and the 1970s when Ronald Reagan took over, and the whole idea of trickle-down economics, supply-side economics, or the Laffer curve, whatever you want to have, kicked in. And that meant more money goes to the people who already have a lot of money, in some cases tremendous amounts of money, like Musk. And they're supposed to initiate business, which is going to create jobs and income for everybody else. Well, it just hasn't worked. And I'd urge people to take a look at a graph of that period of time going from the World War II era into that to the 70s. And then since then, it's just shot up straight as an arrow for income at the top 10%, top 1%, et cetera. But, you know, the thing behind it is is deception.
Yes.
We just had that just in this shutdown business. We had Trump and Musk putting out false information on their tweets about the pork barrel that's in there and listing things that were not in the program. The reason I know that, I heard a Republican legislator say that. And so this is the type of thing that happens every time. And we had almost 50%. Trump didn't get 50% of the vote. But almost 50% of the people voting for somebody, oftentimes against their own self-interest in terms of economics, because they believe we were in a bad economy when every economist says it's a good economy. Why did that happen? Deception. Lies over civic media, lies straight out coming out of Trump's mouth and Musk's mouth and others, convinced those people that they were in a bad economy. And that's what happens every time. And so now Trump wants this our debt limit ceiling raised. And of course, the reason for that is he wants to once again lower the taxes on the extremely wealthy people. you know, his last tax raised the debt by $4 trillion when he was in office before, and 83% of that went to people in the top 10% income. You know, 50% of the people in the United States own only 6% of the wealth in the United States. And that's atrocious, but this is how it happens, is through deception. And I think that's something that everyone needs to work on and be out front with it.
Hey, Jack, it, great stuff. Sandy, before you respond to that, let me add this. Baby boomers were able to, for the most part, get beyond our working years, or at least live through a time when we could benefit by sharing in with the wealth of the nation. And so the baby boomers aren't the ones who are suffering through this, because even the those of us who were uneducated, so to speak, were able to live a middle-class lifestyle. These things didn't come to pass until our children, who Generation X, who started seeing the impact of these policies that Jack was talking about, that Mike was talking about,
some of this is a bit of historic revisionism. I mean, the fact is, the United States was in a very unique position in the world after World War II and until 1970, by being the economy that was not destroyed in the war. It was the economy that actually got up and running and humming during the war, because we were building everything for all the combatants who were fighting on the Allied side around the world, and we didn't have battles on our turf. And so we had a unique position, which created a unique situation for our middle class. The problem was that neither our government nor our people recognized this, and we continued to have and allow to organize ourselves around a form of social benefit programs, which were not like the rest of the world saw a need for, and which, it turns out, are the kind of social benefit programs that we need in this country as well to survive. We need a working class that is thriving. We need a middle class that is thriving. And what we've allowed to happen is to chip away at the ways in which other countries have governments that support them: child daycare, health care that's affordable and accessible. Those are two big things. Education that's very affordable and available. These are things we've talked about in the past. America allowed ourselves to get organized without those kind of supporting benefits, and we're now realizing the consequences of it in the middle class. And unfortunately, the politicians who just got elected aren't talking about providing it.
You know, Sandy, the question becomes, how do we get up off our knees, straighten our backs up, because there's everything now pointed against us being able to do that. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on the phone lines. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars, when we have learned what Christmas is for. When we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, it's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy. And Sandy, great music. What's going on?
Well, the message is clear, I think. It's just the irony of Christmas and maybe what's going on around in public policy. There might be some ironic twists.
All right, let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Mary. How are you?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. As you know, I don't usually involve myself in
politics.
Yeah,
I know.
It's impossible to ignore these days. When I'm at my depths, I find myself questioning if democracy for this nation is proving a failed experiment. But then when I come to my senses, thank goodness, I realize it's a small majority of the masses that has allowed this downfall to happen.
Yes.
And it's going to take hopefully a greater majority of the masses when they've just had, or we've just had enough, you know, to take our country back. And then looking ahead to July this year, I wonder if we've celebrated our last Independence Day, at least for the time being. Thanks for the coverage.
It's, you know, really important, you know, words, Mary, and I know it takes a lot for you to chime in on politics. But I mean, everybody's got to focus on what's happening. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I know that your audience is very intelligent, and I believe that they understand Citizens United and money and politics. But I would just urge them very strongly, anybody that they meet, anyone that they talk to, tell them to Google what Citizens United was, or Buckley versus Vallejo, or First National Bank versus Bilotti, and tell them to just see how it is that, you know, even though we want certain things in this country, we don't get them because we have an oligarch, and it's basically, you know, five Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court. Have legalized bribery and have made it so basically whatever the billionaire class wants, the billionaire class gets. And I also just want to say that, you know, it really is. And I don't know if you agree with me on this. You and Sandy can brush this around. But I really think the corporate media, because they make such large profits from the advertising dollars that come in from money and politics, that they don't even talk about Citizens United. They don't even talk. They've never talked about any of the Supreme Court cases that truly affect us on a daily basis. The Chevron Doctrine, the Citizens United case. We need to talk about these things, and I hope civic media really starts breaking some of these court cases down and what they mean, because that's the, you know, the Oz behind the Wizard of Oz. That's the, whatever you call them, the wizard behind the curtain, where all of these different policies are happening, and nobody knows really what the hell is going on. So I just.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, obviously, money and politics is the issue, and the Supreme Court, the kind of the idiocy of the Citizens United notion that corporations are individuals for the purpose of freedom of speech, and that their speech is dollars, and that therefore their dollars can't be controlled or regulated, has gotten us into a very bad place. And now we, however, see money and politics being displayed openly and notoriously, and hopefully people will wake up. But right now, I think we have such a celebrity, such a notion of the celebrity in our society, that we tend to adulate it instead of worrying about it. And so right now we've got Elon Musk, a celebrity, and I hope that the public begins to evaluate what's going on.
Well, here's the thing here, Sandy. Major Trump donors who complained of immigrant invasion use Mexican workers illegally. This is right here in Wisconsin. Exclusive. And this is in Newsweek this morning. Experts believe the alleged shuttle support program used by Uline, a company owned by billionaires Liz and Dick Uline, is likely illegal and exploitative of workers. A company owned by two of Donald Trump's top mega donors has routinely brought dozens of its workers from Mexico to staff its warehouse in Wisconsin and other locations, even though they do not appear to have permission to work in the U.S., according to the Guardian investigation. Uline, a giant Wisconsin-based office and shipping supply company controlled by billionaires Liz and Dick Uline, shuttles in its own workers from Mexico who are using tourist visas and visas meant for employees who are entering the U.S. temporarily to receive professional training known as B-1 visas. But instead of being part of the dedicated training program, the Mexican employees stay for 1 to 6 months, and sources with the direct knowledge of the matter allege perform normal work in Uline's U.S. warehouse. Now, what I would say to that, Sandy, is not a surprise to me, because these things that should be the laws that are there, there are not enough people to regulate things, Sandy. They can't be everywhere.
Well, the reality of the hysteria about immigration was that it was politically convenient to strum the chord of tribalism and to work up fears about something which everyone understands is vital to large portions of our economy, which is the labor of incoming immigrants. So, you know, we'll talk about it after the break.
All right. 855-752-4842. Your thoughts? I mean, when you hear this, you should be angry. You know, if you're one of those people who were you know, just, we've got to get rid of all these immigrants. You know, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl England Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin travel officials are expecting a busy and possibly record-breaking holiday season. A AAA survey estimated that nearly 2.5 million Wisconsin residents will be traveling at least 50 miles during the busiest travel season of the year, which would break last year's record high by about 75,000 travelers. With the added travel and freezing conditions on the roadways, officials are warning residents to drive carefully, account for additional travel time, and give themselves some extra space from other vehicles on the road. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the launch of a new rebate program with the Public Service Commission. According to a press release, the Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate will provide instant discounts for low- and moderate-income households to install energy-efficient appliances. Officials say the program will help lower the cost of those appliances upfront and help struggling families reduce their energy bills long-term. The program received nearly $75 million in funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. The Barron County District Attorney says no criminal charges will be filed in relation to a fatal motorcycle collision in September. The crash occurred on September 29th at the intersection of County Highway W and 19th Street in Barron County. Authorities say the driver of the vehicle made a left turn onto 19th Street and cut in front of the motorcycle. A blood sample showed no impairment in the driver and speed was not a factor. While no criminal charges were filed, the driver was cited for making an improper left turn resulting in death to another. The Rice Lake City Council has placed a time frame on a project to turn a former nursing home in the downtown area into affordable housing. The council approved an amendment to the development agreement requiring Movin' Out, the Madison company overseeing the project, to present quarterly progress reports and assume ownership and demolition of the site after 5 years from the start date of construction. Movin' Out officials say the delays are related to legal hurdles and due diligence in pursuing tax credits for low-income housing. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Jim Carrey was serious about retiring from acting until he wasn't. The actor told the Associated Press that he was going to retire, but bought a lot of stuff and needed money. Desperation is not a very good negotiating tactic, so I'm guessing that is why Carrey probably walked back his comments to comicbook.com, saying he was joking. You can catch Carrey in Sonic Hedgehog 3 in theaters December 20th. In Where Are They Now News, one of the lovable thugs in Home Alone was played by Daniel Stern. You might remember him as the guy who had maybe the greatest scream in movie history when Macaulay Culkin put the huge spider on his chest. Stern posted a video on Blue Sky showing what he is doing now, tangerine farming. He gave his followers a tour of his studio and fruit-squeezing apparatuses. It was actually really cool. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be chilly today, but it's not going to be as windy. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper teens this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, down into the lower single digits. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 19. We're back in the mid to upper 20s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinere is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everybody. For my last show before I go on break, I'm joined by political editor Dan Schaefer for his naughty and nice lists and his wish list for 2025. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It sounds like Paul Robeson.
Paul Robeson, that's who it is.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. An amazing guy with an amazing story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. An African-American guy, first African-American to play football at Rutgers, All-American, played professional football, got a law degree at Columbia, became an actor and a Shakespearean actor, as well as a baritone singer.
Unbelievable story.
Yeah, I picked him mainly because the irony of him, you know, singing. He also politically was active and was sympathetic to African issues of, associated with African Americans,
and run out of this country.
Yeah, I got run out of the country for his political views. So I thought, what the hell? Let's play some Paul Robeson for
people. All right. 8-5. It's Friday. It's Friday. My co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're covering a whole array of things. I was actually talking about this exclusive article that a company owned by billionaires Liz and Dick Uline, shipped in illegal immigrants.
Actually, those in Milwaukee who are familiar with the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company knew that it was the Uline that owned the brewing company. And this is the Uline family, but they now own something that they call Uline because everyone pronounced their name that way anyway. But yeah, I mean, the fact is that all these people on the conservative side who jumped up and down and decided that it was convenient to talk about, make up fictional facts about the criminality of the tens of millions of immigrants who were invading our country, were at the same time absolutely dependent upon that labor for their business models. You know, we have in Wisconsin agricultural business that relies on immigrant labor substantially, but you know, we have 10 to 11 million immigrants in this country who have not yet gone through the citizen process, who might be here nominally on an illegal basis. Almost all of them are working, contributing to our GDP. One of the reasons Wall Street is concerned about Trump policies is they understand the negative effect it will have on the growth rate of our GDP if he actually goes about deporting all of these people.
The commercials that we saw was all about criminals, drug dealers, gangbangers. And so that's what we saw during the election. And a lot of that was financed by Uline because they were one of the number one financial supporters of Donald Trump. And here you turn around. I don't think they're the only company that did what they did. So, you know. Because as you stated, many of these companies could not run without that cheap labor.
Well, and it was political convenience. It was stuff like I talked about throwing the spaghetti on the wall and seeing if it sticks. The immigrant thing sticks, okay, particularly in populist movements. So they used it. Now we'll see the extent to which they actually deploy it. I'm quite confident that while there will be massive deportations, they will not be anywhere near in the numbers that are talked about because the very people who support Donald Trump will come forward and say, you can't do that. You know, you can't do that to our businesses. And so, you know, now we'll find out what really happens. But I think the American people ought to understand the cynicism with which they were manipulated by this whole anti-immigrant movement.
All right, let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, you know, like Sandy said, I don't believe that Republicans and people on Donald Trump's side, the MAGAs, really want to see, well, I don't want to see, so I can't speak for everybody and give you my opinion. I don't want to see mass deportation.
Now, Gary, that's you maybe you can say you don't want to see it, but many MAGAs, that's what the majority of them were pushing for. You can't now turn around after we expose the fact that they're hypocrites and people who lied about those people and call them all kind of criminals and all sorts of other things. And now you come back and say, well, you know, It wasn't me.
Don't say I come back now. I never was in favor of getting rid of all the immigrants. My grandparents were immigrants. I'm a
Gary, we're
generation.
Talking about illegal, what they call illegal immigrants.
Well, actually, just to get straight about that, most of our immigrant forebears were illegal as well because they didn't go through a citizen's process. There was nowhere near the kind of rigor about citizenship processes then. Most of us became citizens based on the birthright of the offspring of the people who came to this country. So, yeah. But, you know, I think, Gary, what you're saying is accurate. I think there were lots of people who were thinking that they wanted to elect Republicans for their own reason. And they were willing to make adjustments in what was being said by Donald Trump by believing that he will do what they want him to do rather than what he might do. So that is a very manipulative process, however. I mean, that was my point, that this was much of what was done during this campaign was extremely cynical, designed to attract people to the voting booth and get them to vote in a particular way, even though there was no merit in what was being talked about that was stirring them up.
They were lies. Gary, go ahead.
So I believe it's not the immigration thing. I mean, it is big. It's the economy and everything. But I believe the reason that Kamala Harris lost.
Now, listen, I don't want to get into the reason that Kamala Harris lost. What is your thought about this story on Uline that they turns out that they had been shipping illegal immigrants to be working in their factories? Billionaires.
Let me tell you, close to home, my in-laws own a landscaping business, okay? And they have the people, they have like 35 people working there, and about 20 of them are from Mexico.
Illegals.
They're hardworking guys.
I know, okay, but the illegals, Gary.
Well, I think the point is that this is a part of our economy that we all have become used to, and the problem is we were manipulated and stirred up about an issue that wasn't a valid one. Now, we do need to get a hold of our immigration process so that we can figure out how many people we want to have coming into this country and what the orderly process is for accomplishing it on a basis that works. But I bring this up only because I think it demonstrates the cynicism to the extent to which the campaigns manipulate people into getting frenzied about something which has no merit and which has no purpose.
But Sandy, I just don't think that it's right that now that Donald Trump is elected and the Republicans are elected, that they can now come back and say, and people can say, well, that's not how we felt. That really wasn't what it was. We do know every day nonstop that's what they were talking about. It helped many people choose to vote for the Republicans because they said immigration was the number one issue. You can't now turn around and say, oh, well, no, we really didn't mean that. Go ahead, Gary, quickly.
Well, okay. The thing is, what I would like to see is just everybody report and then apply for citizenship. So we know, I mean, the government knows who I am. They know why I pay my taxes. I think that most people that come into this country are looking for a better life. But the fact is with this, you know, they come in there and they say, you know, that we're being shot and we're being whatever, they want.
Well, yeah, there was lies.
Well, the thing is this, I'm in favor of legal immigration. The people who are illegal in this country report who they are and work on this. I think Donald Trump made a big mistake when he said mass deportation. He shouldn't have used the word mass. He should have said, we're going to round up all the bad people and get these guys out.
Donald Trump said what people wanted to hear, and that's why he got elected. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. CJ, go ahead.
Thank you, Earl and Sandy, for taking my call.
Your thoughts about the E-lines, about the U-lines lying?
Well, I believe that businesses that hire illegals should be punished. But we didn't need to be manipulated. 250 citizens in this country, at least,
a day are dying from fentanyl. Sanctuary cities.
What is that, ACJ? Are you aware that many of the people selling fentanyl are Americans?
Well, and also the facts regarding the methodology for the importation of fentanyl has little to do with immigrants. The way the fentanyl, the mechanics of how fentanyl gets imported doesn't have to do with, for instance, immigrant mules carrying it across the border. But, you know, I think you've now got fentanyl attached to this because of Donald Trump's argument that he's using immigration as a tool to bludgeon, and he talks about Canada being a source of this as well, to bludgeon Mexico into taking control of the fentanyl trade. But we should understand, and you know, you should do more research into the way the fentanyl trade is carried out and the problems associated with controlling fentanyl, because the problem with fentanyl is that it's very easy to manufacture and very small amounts of it are very deadly. So much like methamphetamine, which happens to be an American product primarily, something that's produced in basements around America, fentanyl is something that's difficult to control, something we definitely ought to be focusing on controlling. But to connect it to illegal immigration, I think, is just a disconnect.
All right, go ahead, CJ.
I believe Sandy's really good at deflection. The only thing we need is Biden cut and run and Kamala VP border czar's record.
Oh, gosh. Well,
clearly nothing that you're way off topic. Thank you very much for the call. You know, let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, it's very interesting listening to CJ and Gary when they help spread these lies. And
yes.
We try to combat that. Yes. We try to combat it with logic and understanding, and they refuse to listen. Now what they're doing is they're backpedaling. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of them. Well, maybe that's not what I said. No, that's exactly what you said. And we can play the tapes back, and you can listen to yourself. You got on the Trump bandwagon, and you pounded those exact same lies.
Yes.
And you continue to compound it now with the fact that you're backpedaling, saying that's not what I meant. We know what you meant. And unfortunately, now we're stuck with this at least for the next 4 years. And like I said, every time Trump and Musk, his associate, fall behind the promises that they made, I'm going to be there and say, hey, Gary and CJ, I told you so.
You're not going to be one of those I told you so's, are you? Are you, Susan?
Yes, I am.
All right. 855-752-4842. Quickly. Okay. So we'll continue the conversation. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Maybe I'll get a car. Maybe I'll drive so far they'll all lose track. Me, I'll bounce right back. Maybe I'll sleep real late. Maybe I'll lose some weight. Maybe I'll clear my junk. Maybe I'll just get drunk.
Dolly Parton. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Sandy Williams is still here. And so, Sandy, I was a bit aggressive with CJ and Gary because constantly you can't say now you can't unring the bell. One of the reasons Donald Trump got elected, Sandy, people kept saying the number one issue was illegal immigration. When people polled them, they said that was the number one issue.
I just think people who were taken in by that ought to realize the extent to which campaigns, particularly the campaign that Donald Trump ran, might have been a very cynical form of manipulation designed to stir people up, frighten people, bring them into his camp on bogus issues. And when they realize it's bogus, maybe they'll realize they've been had. And then they have to measure what this man delivers to them in fact, because if it wasn't really important or going to be delivered to them, this whole immigration thing, then why did they elect him, and what is he going to do for them? And I think the main thing people ought to keep in mind right now is, what is this president going to do for me? And, you know, keep your eyes open to see if there's any of the good that you hope for comes from this.
All right, Brendan, quickly.
Real quick, Earl. One, gave CJ a pass again. What about challenging him on energy and grocery prices? Yes,
They did poll that they were interested in illegal immigration, but that's only because that was what Trump was yelling loudest about. And that's what his crowd does. They back what he yells loudest about. But most people that I know that voted for Trump wanted grocery prices to come down so that they could afford to buy food for their families. They could have gifts at Christmas.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen, Brendan.
Earl, you're preaching to the choir. I know that. He lied about everything. But when CJ gets on the phone and you let him off on one topic you're talking about and don't challenge him on three lies he's already admitted to, where are we going?
Well, so do you think if we brought up grocery somehow, CJ was going to say, oh, yeah, by the way, you got me. It doesn't matter. He's not going to capitulate to any of those things. That's just so it doesn't matter whether we bring those things up or not.
Well, I think what Brendan's saying, and it does matter, is that we talk about it and focus the listeners on the notion of what is actually going to happen. What were you talked to about? What was it that stirred you up into voting? And what is it that's actually going to happen? And maybe this will all be illuminating, because what's actually going to happen as far as Tom, Dick, and Mary is concerned needs to be something that they focus upon and that they act on in the polling booth in a manner that is reflective of some deliberate thinking.
So Sandy, 50% of Tom, Dick, and Mary didn't buy into that. I guess I would say if we think that the 50% of Tom, Dick, and Mary who bought into it, that they were snookered.
I just think that this is a work in process. Our democracy is a work in process. The education of our electorate is a work in process. Our personal educations are a work in process. People have things to learn from this. Donald Trump operated a very cynical campaign. We'll see what he delivers and who he's delivering to. But right now, you know, we've got Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, who seems to be holding the reins to much of government, who has warned us that we should expect hardships because whatever it is they want to achieve is going to be hard for the middle class to absorb. And whether that's inflation, whether that's stagflation, whether that's higher prices on everything because of tariffs, whether that's benefiting employers without benefiting workers substantially, we'll find out.
But, so, Sandy, I would have agreed if we hadn't already seen 4 years of Donald Trump. I mean, we saw 4 years of him. He was the president for 4 years.
Well, I'm just saying it's a work in process. So our memories aren't very long, okay? When he retired from the presidency, his approval rating was at a very low level.
Yes.
His approval rating has gone to now what is the highest level he's achieved. It's the first time he's ever had a higher approval rating than a negative review. So now it's time for us to sit back and watch, listen, and learn, and see whether this so-called populist movement actually delivers to the people.
All right, Sandy, thank you very much, man. Get some rest.
Yep.
See you on Tuesday. Thank everybody who made this show go. Thank you, Calvin, for another great week. Thank you to the listening audience. Couldn't do it without you. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach Madnair on the air. I got some snow to move. See you later.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Madnair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Friday. That means it is time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Madnair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hours before a potential government shutdown, the House has rejected President-elect Donald Trump's new plan to fund operations and suspend the debt ceiling. There is supposed to be another vote today in the House, but nothing is scheduled as of right now. Alleged CEO killer Luigi Mangione now in New York after waiving extradition in Pennsylvania. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Mangione appeared in Manhattan federal court where prosecutors charged him with stalking and murdering United Healthcare chief Brian Thompson. If convicted as charged, Mangione would be eligible for the death penalty. Outside courts in New York and Pennsylvania, small groups of people carried signs of support for the suspect. But to prosecutors, what Mangione allegedly did was an act of terrorism.
In court today, the parents of two girls who were murdered by Richard Allen in Delphi, Indiana in 2017. Allen will be sentenced today. The FAA now banning drone operations in more parts of New York as well as portions of New Jersey as people continue reporting seeing them. This is ABC News.
I'm James.